Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is the manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulations those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in the saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you to not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe in the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do all the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were here with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some among you who walk among in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutations of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, which so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Any questions?
You did a great job.
Thank you. I had to slow down. So we're picking up in chapter 3. And I guess my little review will be that the main point and purposes of this letter is to settle believers who thought Jesus came back already. There was a rumor going around that said, you missed it. And so Paul's trying to, like I said before, it starts with grace and peace. The Lord wants you to have grace and peace. And the very end, it ends with grace and peace. So in the middle of there, it's all God's grace to give us instructions so that we'd have peace. And we can trust and rest in Him. And he left last week. And how he does that is, yes, there's a lot of information that we don't quite understand. Some say they do. But what we do know is that when Jesus returns, the enemy is destroyed. And so I believe that the Lord's desire is that no matter the circumstances of life that you're going through. I started the last time from chapter 2 when it said that concerning the Lord's coming and gathering together to Him. That right there should give you comfort and peace. The Lord's coming and He's got taken us to be with Him. All the other things in between can make you wonder and worry, but we can trust that He's faithful. That He says, you're mine and I will take you to be with me. So He doesn't want our minds to be shaken. He doesn't want us to be troubled. Those are signs of doubt, which are signs of not faith. So He wants us to have faith in Him, not in our understanding. But if He's going to want to settle our hearts and understand in the most trying thing, the worst thing you can think about, like missing the coming of the Lord, if He doesn't want you to be troubled in that, all the lesser things are involved in that. So, your mortgage. Is it going to snow tonight?
Air? 10 inches.
10 inches? Cool. Love it.
Anybody have an open flight?
So there's all these, there's many things that the enemy wants to use to deceive you. He wants to distract you, and he wants to make you walk in unbelief, doubting and fear, which really is a sign when you feel that your eyes are on the wrong thing. If I'm worried about my bills, what are my eyes on? If I'm keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus, then I can fix my eyes based on who He is and how He promises that He will take care of me. Most of us pray for food, but most of us have months of cabinet food in our cabinets. So, you know, there's a lot of things the Lord really wants us to settle before Him and come to a place and understand that we as His to his desire in life, or his desire for this world, is that he would be glorified, right? He created us so that he could be known and glorified. And it's hard to glorify someone when you have doubts about the one you're glorifying. It's hard to say, I know that the Lord shall supply all my needs according to Christ's riches, when I don't think he has the ability or cares enough about me to do it. It's hard to walk in faith. It's hard to take them steps trusting that he's got you. Almost feels like you're all alone sometimes and your mind's going back and forth, don't know what to do. Because I'm fixed on the things that I understand. So I wanted to look at a few things here today, hopefully to settle your hearts if you have unsettled. Most of us probably do have a little unsettlement in our hearts. And so, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. So Paul's writing, and Paul had a rough life as he was out sharing the gospel. I think everybody kind of sees that occasionally in Scripture. He was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked. But he also came to a place in his life that he said, these momentary light afflictions are nothing to be compared with the greatness that will be revealed, or the glory. And so the Lord wants to get us to a place that our lives have a way to glorify the Lord. And when you hear glorify the Lord, what does that speak to you? What do you think that is? For you to be at a place just to glorify the Lord. Bring him glory, praise and honor, lift up his name and lift him up for what he's due. But the glory, but that's the work. The glory of that, we learned back a few weeks ago, was that that's the Holy Spirit working in you to even bring you to a place that you can praise God. Because I can't praise him until I have a place, until I have faith in him. It's hard to say, you're my Redeemer, if I've never been redeemed. It's hard to say, you are Lord, when I've never humbled myself to be a servant. But see, I won't let him be Lord until I trust him, that he knows better than me. Which means I need to get the little God out of the way all the time and get my eyes on the real one and true one. So how does he do this? How does God work these things out in our lives? And you notice I said, not how do we work these things out in our lives. This is a work that God has to do to bring you to a place of faith, to trust him, that you see in reality of who he is, whatever circumstance that might be, that I can trust him and call him God. So he says that he wants for us to pray that the word, that they would pray that his word would run swiftly. Guess what? The Lord answered that prayer. We have it today. And it be glorified. We're here today glorifying the Lord and his word because they were faithful. Well, really, because God was faithful and they walked with him. This is not a letter of Paul's faithfulness to us. This is a letter of God's faithfulness to use a man to write a letter so we can know his heart. And so, as we continue, we have to understand we're going in a world with people who don't have faith. But verse 3 is the pivotal point. It's that but. But God. But the Lord. He's faithful. It should be a period. But there's things that explain more about his faithfulness. What is God faithful to do? Establish you. And guard you. It's what he's telling you. Do you believe it? Or is your heart settled in a place where you know that the Lord has you established and guarded? I say sometimes. Sometimes I forget. And sometimes my eyes get on my circumstances and my own sin. And I get my eyes off the Lord and that faithfulness. And sometimes I start feeling unestablished. And I'm not settled. And I don't have rest. Because I'm looking at the waves and not the Lord. So how does the Lord want to establish you and guard you? I think the answers are actually in Thessalonians. A lot of them, and then we'll go other places. Verse 17 of chapter 2, I wanted to point this out too. Verse 16 and 17, Paul ended chapter 2 with, "Now may the Lord," it's a prayer, "Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." You see, Paul starts with the prayer of saying, "The Lord, I'm praying that the Lord establish you." And then he comes right out and says, "God's faithful, he's going to do it." So, if you're his and the Spirit of God is within you, bearing witness that you're his child, whether you enjoy his established plan for your life depends on whether you trust his faithfulness, which comes back to faith, believing it. Either way, he's going to establish you because he can't deny himself. You see, Psalm 138 verse 2, does anybody know what that says? It's the end part of it. It says, "The Lord has magnified his word above his name." What do you think that means? What is it to magnify his word above his name?
Enlarge. Magnify the word. But I think God is the word. He is the word.
But he does something with his word so that we can know him.
Elevating God above himself.
I'm sorry?
Elevating it above himself? His word?
Not above himself, but limiting. He's actually limiting himself to the word of God.
And the word became flesh and all.
Right. Does that make sense? God has limited himself to his word.
He is always true. If his word is true.
Right. That's my point. But you see, if God didn't put anything in here, he would have no limitations. If we didn't have any record of anything he ever said, we would never know how he could act. We would never know what he sees he's walking. So he's given this to lift it above so he confines himself that he won't be contrary to his word. God cannot lie, right? How do we know that? Because it's in his word. You see, because that way, if I can understand that he's brought himself to a point, well, that means he will act according to his word. Now, when we say that, God only is limiting himself so that we can know him. Does that make sense? He only limits himself and confines himself to put us in a place so we can get a picture of who he is, so we can walk with him and trust him. I mean, he spoke his word. Creation speaks of who he is, but we don't know enough from creation to cry out and know his character. We weren't alive when Jesus walked to see that character. So we have his word to share and tell us, which we do know he is the Word made flesh and dwells among us. So I want to keep to his word so that we can be established. And I think there's areas in our lives that many of us believers have that back and forth struggle, like, okay, I got it. I got to trust Jesus. He saved me. He's going to continue to save me, and one day I'm going to be saved. But then I have this part where I try to save myself and try to add all these things up and walk it out. And then I'm like, I can't do it. Anybody been there? Anybody not been there? Because then you can come up here, because you should be sharing. Because the truth is Paul in chapter 7, the things I will do, I don't do, and the things I will not to do, these things I practice, has a lot to do with what that transformation in his life has a lot to do with being established. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But he's faithful. He wants to establish you. To settle you. To establish something is not just to set it in a place. When you guys just built your house, it's an establishment, right? It's not just, there's a lot of work going on in the process, right? But there was a plan. Not everybody likes a plan, but you had a plan, right? So these are the things that take place, but he wants to bring about. So how does he establish us and guard us? Well, it's through his word. But if you look back at chapter 2, verse 8, what does it tell us? It says, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. I see two things going on there. The breath of his mouth would be his word. And the brightness of his coming is revelation. You see, the enemy's going to deal with all that in one time. We're told in Revelation that he's going to come and there's a sword coming forth from his mouth and he's going to destroy. Right? It's the same way the Lord wants to destroy the things in your life that aren't established. He wants to use his word and bring revelation. I say word and revelation because many people go to the Word and they get doctrine and they become Pharisees. Revelation should bring us to a point where we're like, I can't, but you can. And humble us. Because we get a bigger picture of who He is. And we can come back to the Word to make sure what we're thinking matches. Now, coming to the Word properly does help, but we'll get into that another time. Many people read different things into things, the stuff, but the simplicity that's in Christ is the safest thing for us. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And if we lift Him up, He will draw all men to Himself. So he wants to destroy the things that are not established and guarded in your life by His Word. And as you go through His Word, He wants to reveal Himself to you. And show himself faithful. Any thoughts or questions before we go on? Because the answer is in the next verse. Verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you both, that you do and will do all things we command you. Where's Paul's confidence? Even though he was praising them for everything that the Lord's been doing in their life, notice it's the Lord's doing, working, he said it the whole time. He does not say to the Thessalonians, I have confidence in you that the Lord will do. It's a difference. Are we to have confidence in the flesh? That means our own and the people sitting next to you. Who's the one that saved you? He's our only hope. Who's the one that's going to establish and settle you? Because it's still saving. That's how He saves you. That's how He sanctifies you and sets you apart unto Himself to settle you. And bring about and remove the other distractions. We have confidence in the Lord. So I wanted to, since my salvation didn't start with me, my sanctification doesn't start with me, and my glorification will never end with me or start with me. It's all God's work along the whole process. Right? So do I have confidence in myself? You don't know me well enough. No. Too many times I do. So we want to put our confidence in Him. Turn to John chapter 1. If you need. First three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Do you believe that verse? Because what that's saying is, where you are today in your walk with Jesus, He's the one that's made it. Not you. You're enjoying as much as you trust Him. But He's the one that's made it. He's the one that's made it happen and made the availability for us to have access to come. And so, for me, it's very, like, when I read that, without Him, nothing was made that was made. You will not be a self-made man or woman. God's the one making you. Now, would He like to speed the process up sometimes in our lives? Would He like us to walk in faith and not have evil hearts of unbelief? Yeah. Are we going to do it? One day when we have no flesh left to struggle and fight against, because we'll see Him as He is. But I think it's important here, as we look at our confidences in the Lord, far too much. And we're going to get into it next week because of verse 5. I'll just read it. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patience of Christ. We're going to be sharing a lot about the patience of Christ a little bit next week and talk about some things. Because if I can't rely, well, one of the things I think Pharisees had a problem with, the church has a problem, well, mankind has a problem with, and that is looking at everybody and judging them based on how they think they should be living their lives. And how well they're doing based on what they see. If my confidence is in the Lord to save me, because I know I can't save myself, why should I look at any of you and point my finger and say, fix it? I got to look to Him and say, fix us. Lord, You're doing a work. And guess what? I don't have to question what He hasn't done. Paul rejoiced in what He has done. And you see, if we come to a place where we can just love the body, we know we are Christians by what? Our love. Love suffers no wrong. Which means nothing can be done against you if you're walking in love. If it's been done against you, then you can hold a grudge and think you have a reason for unforgiveness. But the Scripture teaches that we're to forgive as Christ forgave. And to walk in love, allowing God to be God in each other's lives instead of dictating over one another and ruling over one another. That I can sit next to and look someone next to you and say, I have confidence in God that whatever you're lacking, He can handle. That He can establish you, build you up, unify our hearts in one. Instead of pointing out all the different things that, why are you struggling? You just need faith. Well, if you would do this, then you'd be doing okay. We all look at the external, but God looks at the heart. And so sometimes somebody's world can be falling around them, and the first thing everybody thinks is, read Job. What'd you do wrong? Well, then Jesus did a lot of things wrong because he was beaten, crucified, but he did everything that was in the heart of the Father, and everything didn't look like it turned out good. It actually looked like he lost till 3 days later. Right? And many times I feel like we get to that point where we feel like we've lost until we get that resurrection from the Lord. That he brings light. He gives us his word to establish and to build us up and to draw us closer to him. So when we walk around in the body, trust the Lord. Don't take things personal. I'm speaking to myself. Because I know how hard, I know how hard we are on ourselves. I am. Not hard enough, but hard. When we fail, we beat ourselves up, then we're afraid to sit before the Lord because we think He doesn't want to see us. But He knew we were going to fail from before eternity. And He says, come. It's been opened. You have access. Do you need grace and mercy?
Yes,
then you better come. That's what He says, right? Come.
Well, resurrection happens after death. So, like your reminder to me, I needed Christ's confidence to sing praises to Him, not Anne's confidence.
Yeah.
You know, anything we do, it comes when we die. And let Him live.
David said, I'll dance before the Lord and be a fool for the Lord. And many times people in their freedom, a lot of times believers are questioning their freedoms because they have joy. And they're only questioning it because they don't. And the Lord wants us to be established and filled with peace. It only comes through His grace. And so I want to just encourage, that's about all I had to say, is like our confidence needs to be in the Lord just for ourselves. And if I need it for me, I need it for you. And if you see a fault in me, which there should be plenty, ask Him to fix me. Or that I would yield and surrender. I mean, that's the whole life is Lord, I'm not right. I need to learn how to surrender more. I need to understand how to trust you more. Your word's true. I need my mind renewed. I need it washed. Why? Because my whole life I've been taught lies. That you can do it on your own. But if you just put enough hard work into it, it'll be alright. I'm not saying we don't work. We just read that. If you don't work, you don't eat. There's a balance. But I can't go. I strive to go after the Lord. Fail miserably. But if I don't trust that He loves me and says I can come back in, how am I even going to repent? How am I going to come back into Him if I don't know He loves me and cares for me and wants me to come? Because He knows I need to hear from Him. And so my confidence can't be in me. My confidence can't be in you. Guess what? The person sitting next to you at some point, or as already, will let you down. Most likely, I shouldn't say definitely. But the Lord wants to rip everything out of your life that you will trust in. Your wife. Your kids. That they're going to do it. You know, He wants to rip anything out away from you that they can't become your God. If my happiness is based on my wife's treating me, I'd be happy most of the time. If it's vice versa, she probably wouldn't be happy most of the time. So I can't live my life based on anything other than what Jesus says is true. You've been washed. You're clean. You're forgiven. You're loved. This isn't your home. I'm coming for you quickly. Will you trust me? And not just concepts about him, but him himself. All right, I'm done. Anybody have anything or questions? Or I have a lot to say. Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you because that message was so encouraging. And what you wanted God to do through you, I believe he did that. Because I don't know, I have this, and I know I'm an emotional person, but I truly feel this way. And not just a feeling, but it's revelation, I believe that. When I stand by all fellow believers, like all of you, I believe that I know, are believers, really believers. And being in this church, I mean, this is just a building, but we are the body of Christ. And I just feel like, not feel, I have to use that word because it's more than that. I believe that God inhabits each one of these, you know, in this body. And I feel strengthened. And, you know, like, everything you said is like, you know, amen, amen, amen. And I believe it with all my heart. And now, but during the week, I go into the world and I'm like, you know, people get on my nerves. I wish I could walk like this, like the way it is here, every single day. It is different. So, do you know what I'm saying? This is not the world out there. Like, with what we're getting confronted with. This is really, really, really special to me. And does that make any sense to you? You know what I'm saying?
If I didn't like you guys, I wouldn't be here. Just kidding. Because I would be here if the Lord said, I don't care whether you like them or not, be there. I'd have to do it.
I've been in churches all my life, and I've been pretty much all my life. I've always worked on. But there is a difference in truth place. And I just wanted to say that because.
Well, praise the Lord.
Awesome. I love listening to the Word and sharing the Word and being in the Word with you people.
And the prayer of Paul when he says, "May the word of the Lord run swiftly and be glorified," that's what he wants to do in our lives. He wants it to run through you, so that it can bring you to a place that you can glorify. And if you read it, you'll definitely see what you're not. We'll definitely see who he is, and we can respond. There's something about the truth of the word that I think a lot of us miss as well, in a sense. And this is part two of I'm being done. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. I think it's more important just than receiving just the word of God. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. You see, it's not just his word and his truth, it's that they'll love him. There's a love behind everything God's speaking. That is, to establish you, to guard you, to bring you to a place where you're one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. These are the things it's supposed to say. And whether you feel like that's true or not, it is. As we trust Him, I can rest more that these things can happen. Look, it's hard to say my life's going to be perfect when you're looking and reading letters from people who are losing their friends. It's not what the Scripture's teaching. It's not teaching kumbaya, everything's going to be fine on here. It's teaching you're not from this place. You're not meant to be here right forever. You are a pilgrim. Westerners, sojourner, and even the flesh you live in is only a tent. And so the Lord wants us to come to a place that we just let Him all be God of all of it. I'm not saying, I know we all, you're not going to not struggle. Because we have eyes, we see the things of the earth, and we get caught up in all these things. But if we can set our mind, what's that in Colossians, right? 3. Colossians 3 real quick, because I want you to think about when you're struggling and frustrated and not at rest, what you're thinking on as I read through these things. And when you're at peace and have joy and what your mind's on, because you're going to see it here. And this is the question. If you were raised with Christ, right? Seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Right? So those who say, if you're too heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, they can argue with Scripture. If I'm not heavenly minded, I am no earthly good. And if my mind's set on Jesus and walking with Him, I'll be able to walk in all the things that He's prepared beforehand that I should walk in. Anyway, here's something for you. Who's worried about dying? I think we all struggle with that. Sorry. You guys don't have to. Like, we're in a room of friends. Like, yeah, I say, like, if I get really sick, I don't want to go to the hospital. But we'll find out when I get there.
Close your eyes on earth.
What's that?
When you close your eyes on earth, next time you open them, praise the Lord.
Yep. It's important here what's said. For you die. You're not dying again. And your life is hidden in your choices. That's not what the Scripture says. Your life is hidden in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also shall appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness. Anybody have any passion? Anybody have any evil desires? Like when the person cuts you off or just asking. Any covetousness? Which is idolatry? Good thing if I said yes one. Oh, and it, sorry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Which is separation. In which you yourselves once walked, right? When you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things. Here we go. This is going to be easy. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Try hitting your thumb with a hammer and answer that one. Do not lie to one another. It's important because I ask questions and I'm like, I know, at least for me, everybody okay? Are you struggling? Yeah, I'll be struggling. I know we're all struggling because we're still here and we're waiting to be redeemed. And He's still working on our faith and building us up. So I'm not asking a question that I expect everybody to be like, we're good. Then I'll be like, you're lying to me. No. We should be able to be settled and say, I'm good because of Him. But putting our mind on the things. Well, don't lie to mother since you put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Here's the creation. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, because of all that, as the elect of God, that's you, holy, that's you, beloved, that's you, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, see, more important than your actions is to put on love. Because these things won't happen if you're walking in love, which is the bond of perfection. And let this be, let it happen. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of God, or word of Christ, sorry, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I'm going to stop there. You see, the things that unestablish me or wreck my world is when these earthly, fleshly things come in and my eyes are fixed on them. And sanctification is a setting apart from, which would be them, to Him. When you're struggling, seek Him. When you're frustrated and irritated and don't feel like you have a right to sit before Him because of your heart, that's when you need to sit. Don't wait till you think you're ready or good enough, because then you won't sit. I need to know that I'm coming during a time of needing mercy and grace, which takes humility to say I'm not worthy, but it also takes faith to say you're faithful. And you said you can come no matter what you look like. So here in my wretchedness, here I am. Help me, Lord. Do a work in you and me so that as I'm walking out, people can say that they know I'm a Christian for the love I have. Not me claiming, look at all the love I have, look, I'm a Christian. It's when the world can look at you and say, it was a word. It was a, what's derogatory name for believers back in that day. They're all Christians. It wasn't a good term. We're all like, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. They're like, they're Christians. That's what it was like. But the one thing they knew was they had all things in common. That there was a single focus on the Lord. And so that's my desire. I hope this establishes and guards you. I used to look at guarding because I played basketball and sports. Like, he's guarding me to try to steal something from me. You know, when you're playing defense and the guard, you're trying to defend a person. But this is a guarding and a surrounding and a covering that the Lord does for us. So, all right. Anybody else have anything? I'm done. Again. All right. Well, Father, we thank you that you have not left us here as orphans. You haven't even left us to our own imaginations. Lord, you left us your word. And you've given us your spirit. So we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to open up our ears of our heart so that we can hear what your spirit's saying to the church. Lord, help us to walk in a way that is in forgiveness. Many times that's starting with ourselves. And help us to come to a place to be able to put on love, Lord. That as we go forth, Lord, that people will know that we have a love for you and a love for the world. And we understand that there's only one enemy. And you've defeated him. And we look forward to the day you finalize that defeat. And we just thank you for your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.